Earnings out from the rest of the airlines, and they're just terrible. Southwest Airlines lost more money in the last 3 months than ever before, and the stock traded higher on the news. Not only did they not lose as much as everybody thought they were going to, you know, if you read it right, you detect maybe a little bit of optimism there. Gary Kelly's the CEO of Southwest Airlines and can confirm or reject that thought. And joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
David, always great to be with you.
Is there any I haven't heard any optimism in months and months and months, but it looks like you guys are nudging up the load factor, and do you see is the end in sight?
Hey, you know, we are optimistic, and there's in every situation you can get your list out and write down all the things that you're grateful for, and there's almost an endless list of what I'm grateful for at Southwest, but yeah, I think the worst is behind us, and I think we all, you know, take some comfort from the fact that this mess isn't our doing. So you don't have that guilt on top of these really rough results, but it's pandemic, and we're just not immune from it. And our business is off close to 70%. And the silver lining that you're describing is that it's not getting worse, it's getting better. We saw progress throughout the third quarter, and most notably, you know, we cut our cash burn in half today compared to where we were in the second quarter. And we're looking at improved revenues yet again in the fourth quarter compared to third, and with lower cost also. So, you know, I'm hopeful that the $1.2 billion is the low point, and we'll just continue to get better from there. I mean, the dose of reality, of course, David, is that this is not over, and we could have a very long way to go. And so we'll need to continue to be smart about how we manage through this and conserve as much cash as possible and therefore borrow as little money as possible so that we're healthy when we get this pandemic behind us.
You know, and to that end, I know you're certainly using dual paths, talking to the unions and about a pay cut so you could avoid layoffs. But by the same token, I guess still lobbying aggressively in Washington, D.C. to get some sort of a stimulus or help package for the airline industry.
And that's plan A. And there's very widespread support throughout Congress, bipartisan support and the administration. To provide the support for the airlines. Airlines are essential and will be essential for an economic recovery here. So we need the service for the country, but we also have a very, very people-intensive business, so we also need the jobs. But, you know, the primary argument, I agree with Chairman Powell at the Fed, which is... Without further stimulus, the economy is very fragile, and I think without the stimulus we've had around the world, and certainly in the U.S. so far, we'd be in a depression. So people just have to wrap their minds around the fact that this is a war, and this is not normal times. These aren't bailouts for poorly run companies. This is keeping the country out of a depression, and certainly we've learned from the past what techniques work, and I think what our government has done so far has been extremely helpful in terms of keeping us out of it.
Well, and that's good news. And again, there seems to be the thought that once you get the election out of the way, that maybe that paves the way for it. And that's good because early indications from what I saw, the talks with the unions were not going all right, all that great.
Well, nobody likes to go backwards. And I don't like to ask our people to make a sacrifice, but the fact of the matter is with our business off 68%, we are significantly overstaffed. And that's after very generous voluntary leave programs, and close to 30% of our employees took advantage of those. And we're still overstaffed. It may be as many as 7,000 positions around the country. And you can, you know, sort of estimate the cost of that in your head, but it is a very, very significant amount of money over a 12-month period. So when we're losing this kind of money, we just can't afford to have that kind of excess. So, the plan A is to extend the payroll support. Plan B would be to call on all of our employees to sacrifice to save jobs. And obviously, that's what I hope that we would do if we get to that point.
You know, meanwhile, it looks like you're really pivoting this airline, so that you're looking more and more toward leisure travel, the going after the consumer rather than the businessman. We saw you add Miami and Palm Springs, and of course you go into the Caribbean. You've got it going into Hawaii, but it looks like, is that the future of your airline for the time being? Is sort of destinations like that?
I think you've summed it up well. And first of all, I think to be successful over the long term, an airline of any kind of scale needs to serve both customer segments, business and consumer or leisure, however you want to describe it. And the majority, by the way, of the business of our customers are consumers. It's about a, call it a 60-40 split, 60% leisure, 40% business. And I think what we've just got to wrap our minds around is that for the time being, which could be a decade, business travel is going to be very weak compared to where we were in 2019. So we're low cost, we're low fare, we're very pro-consumer in the first place. We have great policies, we don't nickel and dime people, and we have a great route network. So we're perfectly positioned to serve the consumer or the leisure traveler better than anybody. And I consider that a strength. If the business travel returns more vigorously, fantastic. We'll buy more airplanes. But in the meantime, we just need to assume that we'll be much more dependent upon consumers than we have been traditionally.
So is this the idea of going? I was really shocked to see you announce that you're going into two fortress hubs, Intercontinental. You dominate hobby in Houston, but going into Intercontinental where United is king, and in Chicago where American and United pretty well split O'Hare, and you're going into both of those markets. That's going to be a pretty good struggle, isn't it? They're not going to roll over and allow you to take over market share.
They won't, but we have a very, very robust route system. We're the largest airline in the country and have our own points of strength that are numerous and far more points of strength as an individual airline than any one competitor. We do well in Minneapolis. We do extremely well in Phoenix, extremely well in Denver, and that's at the, quote, hub airport, if you will. So, and there's a tale of two different markets. Chicago is all about being restricted at Midway. We're at capacity, and my concern has been, what are we going to do to grow and support Chicago over the next generation if we can't add any more flights? So with the current pandemic, we have an opportunity to get into O'Hare because the flight activity is down, and we seized upon that. Houston is different. We have easier access to Bush, and Houston has been under consideration for several years because we know that we're not tapping the north of Houston. They don't drive past Bush to get to Hobby on the south side of town. So that it's more market driven, because we'll still expand out of Hobby. This will be complimentary service, and it won't cannibalize that market at all. But I think we'll do well in both according to our forecast. And these are investments clearly for the future, but with very modest amounts because we have a lot of available airplanes and we have a lot of excess employees. So the time to strike there is right.
Well, let me wind up by bringing you back home. The last time we talked about the role of Love Field, and it seemed to have an increased role. You were sort of while you don't hub and spoke, you were using the Southwest gates at Love Field as sort of a transition point, a hub, if you will. Is that continuing? You still have pretty good activity out of Love?
Well, we, you know, obviously people will use our route network the way they want, not necessarily the way we want, because we have constrained capacity at Love Field, just like Chicago Midway. We would prefer that we have fewer connections there because we can connect people over other points of service, over St. Louis as an example, or over Houston. But our customers will choose the itineraries they want, and they like our fares. And so, yeah, they'll certainly connect at Love Field. But we do try to, as much as we can, encourage more nonstop service because it is scarce capacity there at Love.
All right, and let me ask the one obligatory question. I think I know the answer. But since you're going into Intercontinental and you're going into O'Hare, would you consider going into DFW? And I gather the caveat of the Wright Amendment was that you would have to relinquish a gate at Love Field for every one that you gain at DFW. Is that right?
That's correct, but that expires in 2024. So after that, I think our options are unlimited as to what we would do. Yeah, and I would be concerned that we would be limited in our growth at Love or in the DFW area, I should say, for the next generation. So, clearly, first of all, I want to utilize all the assets that we have access to at Love Field. And, you know, we have an ongoing dispute over half of a gate
right
there, so that continues. But then beyond that, once we get to 2024, you know, we'll have to reevaluate our options going forward.
I had forgotten about that. That makes for an interesting carrot dangling at the end of the stick. Gary Kelly is CEO of Southwest Airlines. Congratulations on a bright future. We hope it holds. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. This too shall pass.
Indeed. Hopefully sooner than later. For more of our conversation with Mr. Kelly, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.